Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So just let me know, I'll go ahead. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Speaking today at the request of devotees from Miami, Florida, United States of America, who have kindly invited me to speak to them. Tomorrow is the celebration of Sri Rama Navami, at least in India it is, I'm not sure, in America. The celebration of the appearance of Lord Sri Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, on the order of Srila Prabhupada and on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and on the in compliance with the teachings of all the Shastras, as we have kindly received from all the Vaishnava Acharyas, we, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, our whole endeavor is Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mang Namaskaru, to always think of Krishna, be the devotee of Krishna, worship Krishna, bow down to Krishna. Our whole life is centered on Krishna. How we want to think about Krishna, talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna. But now, around the time of Sri Rama Navami, we're talking about, thinking about, remembering, worshipping, taking special pleasure in Rama. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani iti Rama padena sau param brahma vidhiyate. The great sages, they know the absolute truth, the supreme absolute truth, who they take great pleasure in, to be Rama. Rama means bliss. So now we're especially thinking about Rama. And of course, Rama is Krishna in another form. Rama, Rama. So we're thinking of Rama. When we think of Rama, Parambra, Satyananda Chidatmani, he's the supreme truth, blissful truth, all spiritual. But he's the supreme personality of Godhead. And when we think of him, naturally we think of others. Who do we think of? Sitaram, 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 Sitaram. The kirtan is going on nonstop. And if we walk on the road up from our Krishna Balaram temple toward Vrindavan town, we'll hear there's one ashram going on. I first heard it there when I first went to Vrindavan in 1976. It had already been going on for a long time prior to that. So Sitaram. Sitaram, then Lakshman, Hanuman. We think of Dasharath. We think of Bharat and Shatrughna. We think of Kaushalya. We think of Sumitra, Kaikeyi, yes, we also think of Kaikeyi, Vishvamitra, Vashishta, so many personalities. And naturally, if we think of Ram, we also think of Ravana. If we think of Nrisimha, we think of Hiranyakashipu. Rama was thinking a lot about Ravana, and Ravana was thinking a lot about Rama, but it wasn't Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. It wasn't in a loving spirit. It was in a different mood, very different mood. Now, when we think of Ravana, then who do we think of? Well, we think of Rama, we think of Sita, and then we may also think of Kumbhakarna, Indrajit, Kara, Dushana, Trisiras, one other, well, many others, but I'm thinking especially of Vibhishana. Today, I want to speak about Vibhishana. We're talking about Rakshasas, right? We're supposed to talk about the Supreme Lord. Now we're talking about Rakshasas. We had previously the massive, mighty Rakshasa, Ravana, and then we had Hiranyakashipu. Now we have a little tiny Rakshasa we can hardly even see, called a coronavirus, causing disturbance all over the world. Before, Ravana called this a visible enemy. You can work out who he is, although it's difficult to think how to curb him. So coronavirus can't quite understand what's going on and can't work out how to get on top of it. Anyway, today I want to especially talk about Lord Rama in relation to a Rakshasa. But this was a good Rakshasa, Vibhishana. And although he's definitely a known figure in Ramayana, but he's not in the super top big league so many names I said. Sugriva, also big name. Angada, Jatayu, so many big names are there. He's there. He's important. Actually, he is very, 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 very important. And he is unique among the devotees of Rama, in as much as we can expect the inhabitants of Ayodhya to love Rama, because naturally people love their king, unless he's a real nasty tyrant. It's the general thing we find in history. The king is good and the people love him. And the monkeys, not all of them, Bali was slain by Rama, the Vanaras. Sugriva, Hanuman especially. Hanuman first came to see Rama in the disguise of a Brahmana sent by Sugriva, who was afraid of Bali. Who are these people? Looks like they're searching for someone. These two men. It looks like they're searching for someone. Are they sent by Vali to kill me? He was afraid. So Hanuman went as a Brahmana. He went in disguise. But Hanuman immediately felt very comfortable, more than comfortable. He immediately felt there's no need to hide anything. He's a minister. He's a very diplomatic and very sharp Hanuman. So he immediately told everything. I'm the minister of Sugriva. Sugriva is exiled from the kingdom on the order of Vali. He can only go in this area where Vali can't come. He told everything. And immediately Rama and Lakshman, they also felt a natural attraction to Hanuman. They said, listen to the way he speaks. So cultured. He must be a good person. No bad person could speak like that. So immediately there was a bonding in between Hanuman and Sugriva, and then all the monkeys became attracted to monkey. We say monkey. Actually, they're not really monkeys. Anyway, they became attracted to Rama, and then Jatayu was already also attached to Dasharath. So, but Vibhishana, what the situation with him was that even Ravana, before Shurpanakha came and gave news about she showed herself, how she's cut up. They weren't even aware of any person called Rama. That means Vibhishana also was not aware. And immediately Shurpanakha cast Rama as the enemy. And he had acted as their enemy by killing 14,000 Rakshasas in Janasthan, including the brothers of Ravana. So immediately he was an enemy, but Vibhishana, he had no contact with Rama. He'd never met him, but he went to surrender to him. Just, he understood that Rama was right and his brother was wrong. So he came from a very bad background, but a little association with Hanuman, seeing the qualities of Hanuman, and by his own judgment, understanding that my brother is doing something very wrong. Then he became attracted to Rama. Now, Vibhishana, we can, especially those of us from the Western world, we can identify with him. Those who are from India, they heard of Krishna and Rama since the beginning of life. Maybe that's true to some extent for those in the Western countries, now that Srila Prabhupada has very mercifully brought the Hare Krishna movement to the Western world. But I grew up in the 1960s in Britain, having not heard of Krishna. And then at some point I started taking books from the library and I read some abridged edition in English of Mahabharata, and Krishna, something was there. But it didn't register much. Krishna didn't mean anything. Nothing, no idea. But by the association of devotees of Krishna, specifically Srila Prabhupada came and made devotees, then I decided, or Krishna pulled me. I had to go there. So in this way, we can identify with Vibhishana. And especially, I'll get round to that in the course of this talk, there was an instruction that Rama gave to Vibhishana. The circumstances were such that Rama gave that instruction to, or instruction in relation to Vibhishana. And for that, we are all grateful. So who is this Vibhishana? Who is Ravana? Actually, they were born of high parentage. Background was Rishi's Paulastya, one name of Ravana, Paulastya, grandson of Pulastya, whose son was Vishrava. Vishrava had two wives. This is from the Bhagavatam. So Rama's, and these things are in the Bhagavatam also. Vishrava had two wives. The first wife was Iravida, and then Kuvera was born. And then the next wife was Keshini, from whom three sons were born, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Vibhishana. So we see that Rama had three brothers, and Ravana had three. Ravana had three others also, because Kara and Dushana, they're there also. But these three brothers, Kuvera was a half-brother. But the relationship was different. Kumbhakarna was very close to Ravana, but he also, although Kumbhakarna was definitely a Rakshasa, there's no doubt about it, and a gross Rakshasa at that, and though he fought fiercely and killed so many monkeys, but in his heart, he also knew Ravana is wrong. He was one of those who advised, when he was woken up, he advised Ravana, what are you getting into here? This is nonsense. Just give that woman back and let's live peacefully. And then when he died, when he fought as well as he could, which was fabulous. I mean, he did so much havoc he wreaked on behalf of the Rakshasas, the havoc he wreaked in the Vanara army. But then when it was time for, he knew he couldn't go on any longer, and he he requested. Now you shoot the arrow so that my head goes into the... He recognized Rama and Lakshman are very special persons. So just shoot the arrow so my head goes in the ocean so it won't be vilified by others. So he didn't have any really bad feelings toward Rama, but as a matter of course, he had to fight with them. And Kuvera, half-brother, but Ravana treated him very badly. He conquered over him. He stole his kingdom. He stole his Pushpak Vimana, a flying city, practically. And Vibhishana was there with Ravana. But he never really fitted in. He's different to the three brothers of Rama. Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna is different because they're all very closely attached to Rama. But we find in the case of Kuvera and Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana, none of them really gelled with him. Although Vibhishana and Kumbhakarna, they were with him. Vibhishana, he repeatedly gave Ravana good advice, which Ravana didn't appreciate very much, especially in relation to Sita. Let her go, let her go. What? Why? Be happy with what you have. This, you bring this woman, it's bringing, like bringing a poisonous snake. It'll poison, it'll this woman, keep bringing her, is will destroy the whole Rakshasa race, he advised. When Hanuman came the first time to find Sita and was allowed himself to be captured, and all the Rakshasas were ridiculing Hanuman, for which they had to pay severely, but Vibhishana, he was openly sympathetic to Hanuman. And so, Ravana didn't appreciate him at all. Again, when Ram actually arrived in Lanka, Ravana was very confident that Rama may be powerful. He's not powerful, but even if you think he's powerful, he can't cross over the sea to Lanka because Lanka is hundreds and thousands of miles from the shore of Bharat. That's not like the Lanka we see nowadays, which is very close. You can see from India if you stand at Setu Bandha on a clear day. Most of the days are clear days. You can see the landmass of the present-day Lanka and vice versa. You can, from Lanka, you can see to India. But at that time, it's huge. Huge distance. Was it 700,000 yojana? 800,000? Huge distance. So Ravana is very confident they can't come. No one can come. And even if they come, we have such a great army. So he was very confident. He was very secure in his position. But when Ram did actually come and surrounded the whole city of Lanka with innumerable angry, eager for battle monkeys. And again, Vibhishana advised peace, just make peace. But it was unthinkable to Ravana. He was just too proud to accept any good advice. And he sent out one military commander after another, thinking, you go. You don't need to send out the whole army at once, just send some division and you can eat. They're just a bunch of monkeys and some men, and what are we bothered about? And every time he thought it would be an easy job, but each time his commanders and their troops were smashed. Now, Ravana, in some ways, is very intelligent. He made a plan to become powerful and achieve the position which he did, and he executed the plan. He was son of a rishi, and he was expert in chanting Vedic mantras. He wasn't a fool in some ways, but in other ways he was very foolish. It's something like atheistic scientists today. They're very intelligent in many ways. The PhD scientists at the universities, those who are investigating, for instance, the COVID mutations which are spreading around the world, no doubt they're very intelligent people. No doubt they're all more intelligent than I am, or probably most of the listeners here. In some ways, very intelligent, but in other ways, not so intelligent, because they, most of them subscribe to the idea that the universe has come into being and everything we see around us has come into being by a series of fantastic chances, which actually come to impossibility. But they're convinced. Asatyama pratishtam te jagadahura nishvaram. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. Due to a demoniac nature, people think that there's no ultimate truth, there's no ultimate principle behind the universe, there's no supreme controller or God. It's not very intelligent, actually. Not all scientists think like that. Some scientists are intelligent enough to understand that the universe is Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. It's under the control of God. So it's something like that. Ravana was very intelligent, but in some basic ways was very foolish. So like that, atheistic scientists, very intelligent, but in some basic way, they're just missing some practical, easy to understand things. So each time a general was killed, Ravana thought, well, that was just some bad luck, some chance. It's all due to chance, right? Each time Ravana would become disappointed and afraid and think, oh, maybe these monkeys and this Ram and Lakshman, they're not such a pushover after all. But then again, he thought, wait a minute, I'm Ravana. I conquered over the whole universe. I conquered over all the demigods. I eat humans for breakfast and sometimes monkeys. This is ridiculous. This can't be true. All right, one or two commanders got killed. It must be, they must have been inattentive or something. He just couldn't face up to the fact that his troops were being killed each time. And each time Vibhishana would tell him, listen, Ravana, it's still not too late. You can still return Sita. You can still retain the kingdom. If you surrender to Rama, he's an noble person, he'll accept your surrender, he's not anxious to take over your kingdom. Ravana couldn't hear due to pride. Just couldn't hear it. And he didn't like what Vibhishana had to say. And Vibhishana had a few sympathizers around him, a few intelligent people, and no doubt he would discuss with them in private, and Ravana kind of got some idea and he didn't say anything because after all he's his brother. But at some point Vibhishana thought, enough is enough. I've done my duty. I've tried to warn Ravana time after time after time. He's not listening. I know who's right and who's wrong. Ram is right and Ravana is wrong. I have advised Ravana because he's my brother. I've done my duty as a brother. There's nothing I can do. Ravana is on the wrong path. And then he decided, enough is enough. I have to stand up for the truth. I have to make a stand. Even by rejecting all that is dear to me, my home, after all, he's living with the Rakshasas as their friend and well-wisher. I just have to go. Whatever happens, I have to go to Rama. This is Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Giving up everything, including the dharma of obeying his elder brother. He left everything and went to Rama. He went with a few men to join Rama. And immediately Ram, with his minutes, because a message came that Vibhishana, he's the brother of Ravana, he wants to submit himself to you. And immediately the advisors around Rama, which means mostly the monkeys, said, you never trust a Rakshasa. This is just some trick. Forget it. Don't admit him. It's too much of a risk. What have we got to gain? What have we got to lose? Come on, this is a war. We have to think about all these things. Hanuman, he knew. He'd already seen Vibhishana. He knew, yes, this is a good man. The ministers, they knew that Rama himself is intelligent. He can make his own decision, but they thought it was their duty to advise him. But after all, did they have to tell Rama that never trust a Rakshasa? He's already defected from those who have maintained him all his life. Then how can you trust him? What's he ever got from you? What is the basis of his loyalty to you? From a political point of view, Rama didn't need telling this by anyone. But Rama gave his verdict in a clear voice, which rang out, and it reverberated throughout the whole universe, and it continues to reverberate even today. This what Rama said in relation to Vibhishana, for us, for all those who desire to surrender at the lotus feet of Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, even today, this is the most important verse in the whole Ramayana. It's called, therefore it's designated as Charam Shlok, the topmost verse in the whole Ramayana by the Sri Vaishnavas. What Rama said in relation to Vibhishana, and actually it's in relation to everyone. Sakrideva prapanno yas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadamye tadvratang mama. This is also included, this verse is included in the text of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's so crucial in the bhakti tradition. So the translation, Lord Rama said, not accepting the advice of his ministers, which from a political point of view was very good. But Rama, he took the devotional point of view. And Rama said, if a person once surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, my Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you, I always give him protection. That is my vow. This third line is often rendered Abhayam sarvabhutebhyo. That means this is open to everyone. This conferring of fearlessness. Yes. Same thing Krishna says. I will award you fearlessness, Marshuchaha, don't worry. I will award you fearlessness for everyone. And that does, you see, Vibhishana, he was associating with the most wicked, sinful people. That means he was tarred or scarred with all kinds of sinful reactions. He was not fit to be a devotee from the normal outlook. He wasn't a rishi. He wasn't a saint. Actually, if we look a little deeper, we could see that he was very pious, but by his background, from the external vision, he was a rakshasa. But everything forgotten. He surrendered. Rama has accepted him. Now, in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, which is very much predicated on Sharanagati, Prapatti, surrender, offering ourselves, taking full shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, they identify three such verses, which they call Charam Shloka, the best verses. One is the one I just said, that is from the Ramayana. We also have in Varaha Purana, and on the basis of this, the Sri Vaishnavas also give much importance to Varaha Dev and Varaha Dwadashi. Varaha Dev, the Lord in the form of a boar, said something similar to Bhumi Devi, the earth goddess, who is the specifically, she's associated with Varaha Dev. Because Bhumi Devi was very concerned about her children. Her children are all the inhabitants of the earth. So, what did Varaha say to Bhumi Devi? I'll read the verse. Stite manasi susvaste sharire satiyo naraha dhatu samye stite smarta visvarupam chamamajam tatastam riyamanam tu kashta pasha nasannibham aham smarami madbhaktam nayami paramam gatim. It's actually two verses. Anyone who thinks of me when their mind is sound and in good order, the body's in good health, with all their mental and physical facilities intact, they make a clear decision, personal decision, that Varahadev, Vishnu, is the cause of the universe, the form of the universe. He is all in all. He is the Supreme Lord, birthless, deathless. If anyone makes such a decision, then I assure you, Varahadev is speaking to Bhumi Devi, that even when such a devotee is on their deathbed, and they can't, they may be like a stone or a log of wood, they may be practically unconscious, he says, I will not forget them. I will remember them. I will personally take them to the Supreme Abode. That's the second of the Charam Shlokas. And the third is very well known to the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who have heard it repeatedly from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, even though in the Sri Vaishnava tradition they say this should not be spoken publicly. It's only for devotees. It should be spoken privately. But Srila Prabhupada proclaimed it loudly to the world on behalf of Krishna. Sarvadhaman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja ahang tva sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami mashucha. Whatever you've done, forget it. Whatever rascal nonsense you are, leave it behind. Come to me, surrender to me, Krishna says, to the whole world via Arjuna. Take full shelter in me. I will deliver you from all sinful reaction. But he did this. You see, Jagai Madhai, the story is there in Chaitanya Bhagavat, with Chandragupta describes the kayasthas in Yamaraj's abode, very busy, they're overworked, trying to keep up with all the sins of Jagai Madhai. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, just, okay, finished. All their sins are finished. And Yamaraj faints on his chariot. He can't believe, what is this? What is this? He's very happy, but he's astonished. Whew. There's so much work we had. We were just preparing so much work to punish these very sinful people. All of a sudden, finished. They surrendered to Krishna. Finished. All over. This is Krishna's promise. So these three charam shlokas, they're the very heart of the Sri Vaishnava teaching of Sharanagati, Prapatti, and actually all Vaishnava Sampradayas, they're all based on that. As in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they emphasize this very, very much. And in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya also, because we have to surrender to Krishna. That's what it's all about, surrender to Krishna. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches love beyond surrender. But surrender is there, giving ourselves to Krishna, Atmanikshepa, throwing ourselves at Krishna. So this was spoken in relation to Vibhishana. Therefore, Vibhishana, such an important role. He was able to demonstrate something, or some principle became manifest due to Vibhishana that could not be manifested even through Dasharath or through Bharat or through Sugriva, because, or any of the other devotees, because Vibhishana came from such a background, untrustworthy, unknown. Not just untrustworthy and unknown, but probably a bad man, a pretender. He's a traitor. He became known as a traitor. But he's glorified for that. So what was spoken in relation to Vibhishana? That has become the beacon of light, beacon of hope for all of us who are not coming from a very pious background, who are not trustworthy in terms of proper behavior. It's very significant, especially for those of us who come from a bad background. Very little piety, but a little piety, because after all, Krishna consciousness came to the Western world and we somehow or other took it up. Not everyone did. So there's some spark, at least we can say, something must be there. And those of us who take to Krishna consciousness in the modern world, most of us, it's a major life change, even in India nowadays, because the whole society is so materialistic. But it's a major life change. It's a big decision to take to Krishna consciousness. That's why we often try to take people little by little, little by little, little by little. But what we're taking them on is little by little. Okay, chant one round, chant two rounds, chant four rounds, chant eight rounds. Take them little by little. But what we're looking at is a major life change, which Vibhishana did. He made a decision. Okay, I've been up to this point, I've been like this. Now my life is on a different course. Leave all that behind. And it often happens that those who we leave behind, they'll call you bad names. He was called a traitor, Vibhishana, scorned by them. How could you just leave all this behind? It can be very hard. Naturally, we have attachment to everything and everyone we knew before, but we take to Krishna consciousness. They may not like it. Others may not like it. They may be very much against it. It can be a very hard decision. We may have to choose between those who we're very attached to and Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Vibhishana did that. He knew he had to do it. Very hard to do, but he did it. And he was accepted. But when Rama accepted him, that means everyone accepted him. And then he totally changed his allegiance. He didn't hate Ravana, but he knew Ravana was on the wrong course and that what Rama is doing was right. And he was able to help Rama by giving advice. And he understood, because after all, he'd been an insider in the other camp. He was a traitor. He's glorified. A traitor is something very bad, but in this case, it's very good. If you come over to the right side, it's very good. So we might have to be seen like that also. Even after taking to Krishna consciousness, it may come, because we may come to a point in which, because in Krishna consciousness, we're supposed to be thoughtful. We read the books of Srila Prabhupada, which speak not only to our hearts, but to our intelligence. They're meant to purify and clarify the intelligence. It may happen that we come to understand that our present association in Krishna consciousness is not the best, not fully congenial for my advancement in Krishna consciousness. We may come to understand that the devotees I'm associating with are compromised, then maybe not following properly, and then we may have to make a decision to seek out that association whereby we can be fully benefited in Krishna consciousness. We may take to Krishna consciousness from someone who has exploitive motives or who's actually themselves not practicing very seriously, and then we read the books and we see other devotees and we think, oh, that's the kind of association I need. We may have to. Can be. Have to change camps. Not many do that, even though we can see that in the name of Krishna consciousness, there are lots of weird and strange and compromised things going on, but we can't admit it. Vibhishana made the decision, made the change. Here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 15, Text 7. It is understood from the Ramayana that when Vibhishana became friends with Lord Ramachandra, notice they became friends. Vibhishana was a servant, but like a friend, because they're in some ways on the same level. They're both from a ruling family background. When Vibhishana became friends with Lord Ramachandra, he promised that if by chance or will he broke the laws of friendship with Lord Ramachandra, you would become a Brahmana or a king in Kali Yuga. How about that? Rakshasim Kalimashrityam Jayante Brahma Yonishu. What happens to the Brahmanas who weren't killed by Krishna at the end of Dwarpa Yuga? They became Brahmanas in Kali Yuga, according to Varaha Purana. That refers especially to the Mayavadi Brahmanas, or those who misinterpret Shastra. So many Brahmanas in Kali Yuga who are going against the principles of Krishna consciousness. So, such a bad situation to be a Brahmana in Kali Yuga, if one becomes puffed up. And even if one's from a Vaishnava background, if he looks down on others who are not Brahmanas, who are Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Jati Buddhi, that's a hellish mentality. Or to become a king in Kali Yuga, of course, hardly any kings left, but a ruler, and you have to pick up the 1/6 of the reactions of the sins and the piety of the people, but who's pious? And sinfulness is all over. So it's a very dangerous situation. That Vibhishana's vow was so strong because he knew the situation. To become a Brahmana or a king, that's generally considered to be an advantageous position. But in Kali Yuga, it's a very dangerous position. Now, more about Vibhishana, because Rama, as we all know, eventually killed Ravana. But he didn't hate Ravana. He was angry at Ravana. He made all effort to kill Ravana, and he did kill Ravana. But at heart, he didn't hate Ravana, because after killing him, he made sure that Ravana had his last rites performed. The Antyeshti ceremony, the rites at death, which are performed in order to release that soul from sins so that he may go to a higher destination. And those rites have to be done by a close relative, like a son or a brother. Who was left? Vibhishana. So Ram told Vibhishana, you have to do the last rites. But Vibhishana said, I can't do that. He is so sinful. He did so many bad things. But Rama insisted, you have to do it. His Rama's compassion, even on the person who had caused so much damage to himself and others. Rama said, it's very important instruction. No bad feeling should ever be felt toward anyone, understanding them to be soul. Now, physically in this world, or circumstantially, we have bad feelings. There's no doubt Ram had bad feelings toward Ravana. But then when it was over, as spirit soul, I have no bad feelings against him. Once the person is dead, the body dies, but the soul goes to another body and enters another body, goes to the next life. So the Ravana's body, whereby he performed so many sins, that is dead, and the sinful reactions cling to the soul, but the soul, which is of course still alive, the soul by nature is pure. And the soul is always worthy of respect. This is Ram's instructing Vibhishana. Therefore, you should perform the rites whereby the immortal soul of that person who was in the familial relationship with you as brother, by which he can be eternally benefited. So Vibhishana, on Lord Rama's order, performed this funeral ceremonies for all the dead in the family, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Indrajit. Ravana was destined for hellish life. Actually, having been killed by Rama, there's no question of hellish life. But Rama, after all, was playing the role of a human being. Now you could say, well, Ravana died as a warrior in battle, but he wasn't fighting for dharma. A sinful warrior, however heroic he may be, if he's fighting for the wrong cause, then he has to suffer. So Rama was kind to Ravana, ultimately. And then Rama placed Vibhishana on the throne. It wasn't that Rama said, now I'm going to conquer and enjoy. The kings, they would... Srila Prabhupada commented on that once. He said that, well, how was India able to control... From India, they control the whole world because they'd keep the local kings and their family lines going on. And he commented, and he gave the example of Ram putting Vibhishana on the throne. And he commented that if the British had done that, if they had put a member of the British royal family as the king of India, then the British could have continued ruling up to the present time. So Ravana is dead, Vibhishana is the king, and Ravana, he's gone. It's like that. The king is gone. The king is dead, long live the king. That's the saying. So Vibhishana became the king of Lanka, and Rama granted him a long duration of life. He became one of the Chiranjeevis, those who go on living long, 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 long. Seven Chiranjeevis: Vyasa, Ashwatthama, Bali, Hanuman, Vibhishana, Kripa, and Parashuram. So Vibhishana is still alive at the present time. Here in Tamil Nadu, the Tamil area where the Sri Vaishnava culture is very widespread, the most important temple is that of Ranganatha Swami. That's also intimately related with Vibhishana. Because what happened is Vibhishana, then he was installed as the king of Lanka, but he wanted to go and see Ram's coronation in Ayodhya. So he went. Oh, by the way, I should just intersperse here before I forget. We often think Ram was in Treta Yuga. Okay, that's just before Kali Yuga. But Rama appeared in the 24th cycle of Chaturyugas, whereas Krishna appeared in the 28th cycle. So between Rama and Krishna, there's about 19 or 20 million years. It wasn't just yesterday in cosmic time. It was a few days ago. Not even if we take one day of Brahma, it's still within one day of Brahma, but many, 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 many days of we earthlings, we humans in this Kali Yuga. So I'm just saying this because we're going to go on a time journey now, because Brahma, in the beginning of time, worshipped Ranganatha Swami, the deity in Sri Rangam, worshipped him for a long time. And eventually he handed the worship over to Vivasvan, who handed it over to Manu, who handed the worship over to his son Ikshvaku. This is reminiscent of Imang Vivasvate Yogang Proktavana Hamavyayan Vivasvan Manave Praho Manu Ikshvakave Bravit. It's just as the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke Vivasvan. Vivasvan spoke to Manu. Manu spoke to Ikshvaku. And then the teachings came down through the line of saintly kings. So in the same way that Brahma worshipped Ranganatha Swami, the deity, and passed it on to Vivasvan, who passed on to Manu, who passed on to Ikshvaku, and then Ikshvaku handed the worship down in the family succession, and in that family line appeared Lord Ramachandra. So Ramachandra, the family deity, was Ranganath in Ayodhya at that time. So Vibhishana, he attended Rama's coronation ceremony, and then he thought, well, okay, I'm in Ayodhya now, I'm with Rama, and what do I want to go back for? I should just stay, and this is bliss, right? But Rama said, no, you have to go back and rule over Lanka. Lanka needs a king. Probably need a lot of cleaning up after all that fighting. A lot of work to do. So he didn't want to return, but Rama said, okay, I'll go with you. You'll go with me. Yeah, as Ranganath, non-different, right? So Vibhishana took Ranganath, the deity that had been in the family for generations, for worshipping in Lanka. But in the area which we now call Tamil Nadu, particularly in that area in the Kaveri Basin, there was a king called Dharma Varma at that time. And he, one time before all this, he had visited Ayodhya, he had darshan of Ranganatha Swami, and he had a very strong attraction to that deity, and he thought, I'd love to serve that deity in my own kingdom and worship him and make all arrangements. It was an impossible dream, but he thought like that. He had this strong desire. So Lord Ranganath blessed the king by saying, okay, you want it? I'll come. How is he going to come? How is it possible? But he said he'd come. So Sri Ranganath is going through the aerial route with Vibhishana and his retinue. And Vibhishana stopped near the Kaveri at a holy place, come down, offer respect. And then when he came down on that place at the Chandra Pushkarini, you can still see the Chandra Pushkarini. It's there within the compound of the Ranganath temple. The door is locked usually. Sometimes if you request, the gate is locked. You can go in. So that is there's a special place where a deity of Ananta Shesh was being worshipped. So Vibhishana went down there to do worship, and then Ranganath wouldn't go. So I'm staying here. My devotee requested me to come. I've come. But you're supposed to go with me to Lanka. And so Ranganath said, look, I have to satisfy one devotee. I'll always look toward you. By my glance, I'll look at you. Sa'aikshata, he saw. So although most of the deities in India face east, we find that Ranganatha Swami is on his right side with his head toward the west as he looks south toward his great devotee, Vibhishana. And Vibhishana, yeah, he's still alive and well. We don't see him much, but he did turn up in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and went in the form of a brahmana and had darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. So let us, remembering Rama, Manmana, always think of me, Krishna says. Remembering him means his name, form, qualities, pastimes, abode, associates. So today especially, we're remembering Vibhishana, and the great mercy that descended on him, just like the great mercy descended on Arjuna and through Arjuna to the whole world, at least those who want to listen. So in the same way, through Vibhishana, we gain great hope that despite our position where we're not expected to take the devotional service, especially those of us coming from the Western world. It's not expected, but there's hope for us. And Vibhishana became as accepted and is glorified up to the present day as all the other regular devotees of Lord Rama. So whatever we did in the past doesn't matter. Of course, we shouldn't think, we shouldn't take it lightly. We shouldn't think that sinful activity, oh, it's okay, I'll just surrender to Ram. We should regret it. But the point is that there's no one who Rama will reject if we sincerely surrender to him. And that gives us hope. All glories to Lord Sri Rama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All glories to all his devotees. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nidhaya churnakam padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushatame tadaham bravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kurutanu raga parivadatu jano yata tatava nanu mokaro navayang vichara yamaha hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.